Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
The topic we're going to talk about tonight is the very interesting topic is temptation, how to deal with temptations in life. When we talk about temptation, we right away think about modesty and things that is not proper for us to deal with. But temptation also has a lot of ramifications. It's not only about modesty and situations between a man and a woman, but there are other things that one could have temptations for. I want to talk about tonight about Kedoshim Tihyu. There is the Indian of Kedoshim Tihyu, a person should be holy. How do you become holy? There are three questions I would like to deal with. One is, what is the meaning of Kedoshim Tihyu? To be holy. The second question is it a mitzvah or just a nice idea? And the third question is how we are going to accomplish the inyan of Kedoshim, Kadosh, to be holy. So before we get to the questions, I want to read you a piece in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, as Alachan, the Siman in Shulchan Aruch, Siman Resh Lamed Alef, Shulchan Aruch says, "Bechol derachecha de'ehu," that a person should know God, should know Hashem in everything that they do. Va'amru chachamim, kol ma'asecha yihyu l'shem shamayim. Everything that you do, you should be for the sake of Hashem. Sha'afilu devarim shel rashut, kigon ha'achila v'hashetia v'halicha v'hashiva v'akima v'asicha. Everything that you do, eating, drinking, walking, sitting, standing, talking, anything that you do for yourself, it should be everything that you do. The one thing you have to have in mind, how you are going to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or ledavar agorem avodato, or how is your actions going to make you a better person to be obed Hashem better. Kelalo shel davar, Chayav Adam Lasum Enav Libo, a person is obligated to pay attention everything that he does, Velishkol Koma Asab Bemozne Sichlo, and weigh all his actions, Keshuroe Davar Shuabi Lide Abudat Aboreit Barach Yasu, that everything that you see in life, if you think by doing that particular action is going to make you closer to Hashem, then do it. Ve'im lav lo yaseu, then don't do it. Umi shenoe kach, if a person does something like that, this formula that Shulchan Aruch says, oved et bor'o tamid, this is somebody that is oved Hashem every minute of the day. In other words, in short, if a person wants to take a vacation, they want to go to sleep, they want to take a nap, they want to eat, they want to go to Starbucks, they want to go to Kroger, they want to do anything they want to do, right? If they think, what am I going to accomplish by me doing this? Am I going to have to serve Hashem better, or I'm not going to serve Hashem better? Is my actions going to cause me to be obed Hashem, a better Jew, to be obed Hashem better? Or is not going to do anything. That's not my focus. Then you shouldn't do it. This what Shulchan Aruch said. Really, the source of it is Rambam. Rambam said the same thing, that if a person does anything in life, if you have the focus, your focus is how to serve Hashem better, then you are a Jew that you completely 100% connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, if with saying that, let's talk about what is the meaning of Kedoshim Tihyu. What does that mean for a person to be kadosh. The Mesilat Yesharim Sefer Mesilat Yesharim says that kadosh means somebody that is going to make on themselves something that is mutar. You're going to prohibit it on yourself because you don't want to get somewhere that you are not supposed to be. That's really what kadosh means. Now, let me explain something. To be kadosh, to be holy, is not a good idea. Kadoshim to you is a mitzvah, is an obligation. It's not only for the rabbis and for the mekubalim and for big guys. That's not what kadoshim to you is. Kadosh, to be a holy person, is for every human being. Every Jew has an obligation to be the kadosh to you. Second, to be holy is not a mesirut nefesh. It's not that you are self-sacrificing yourself to be kadosh. It's an honor to be kadosh. You have, it's a kavod, it's a dignity. This is something that every Jew has to strive for. This is who we are. Third, is when the Torah says kadoshim to you, to be holy, it doesn't mean that you are going to start now. You are already kadosh. You are born kadosh. You are born as a holy human being. All you are doing is you are emphasizing, you are making sure that the status of kadosh stay there. And you are not making yourself, because you are there already. Just make sure to stay that way. You make sure that nothing is going to change. Because once you are going to change your status, then you are violating the Torah, that something that the Kadosh Baruch Hu created you for. This is what Kadoshim to you means. Now, Mesilat Yesharim says that if a person does anything to make sure that he is not going to get somewhere that he is not going to be, then you are Kadoshim to you. I always said, the example is like this. When you're driving in the street, you have a red light, you have a yellow light, and you have a green light. The green light is no problem. The yellow light, if you know that you are going to go through a red light, then stop on the yellow, you don't go on the yellow light. Yellow lights are Kadoshim to you. If you know by driving, by going through a yellow, and eventually you are going to go through red, then stop by yellow lights. Then don't go through it. This is what Kadoshim to you means. Now, there are two Gemarot that are contradicting each other. There is a Gemara that says that anything that Hashem created in this world, Hashem created for us to use it. If somebody comes and says, I'm not going to drink wine, I'm not going to eat meat, I'm not going to do this and I'm not going to do that, and I'm not going to have apples from now on, I'm not going to have oranges from now on, you are a chote. You are a sinner. You are not allowed to do that. Because anything that Hashem created in this world, it was created for us to use it. Hashem created the world for Jews to draw benefit, draw pleasure out of it. This is what the world is for. And the Gemara tells us that if you, Nazir, somebody separates themselves from drinking wine, is chote, is a sinner. That's one Gemara. Another Gemara says that kol ayoshev betanit nikra kadosh. Another Gemara says if a person fasts, is a holy man. How do you put these two together? If you are a kadosh, if somebody fasts every day, is kadosh. Why, if somebody doesn't drink wine, is not kadosh? How could these two gemarot work with each other? But this is what the inyan of this is what Mesilat Yesharim is trying to tell us. Mesilat Yesharim Ramchal is trying to tell us, in order for a person to be holy, and to make sure that he or she knows how to take care of temptations, they have to make guidelines for themselves. This is what a kadosh person, a holy person does. You have guidelines. If you have guidelines for everything in life, you have to have guidelines for. If you drive, you pass the red light, you pass the line, then you are violating an halacha. And everybody has to do that. There are three things. There are three situations that the person have to in life. Everybody has these three situations. There are certain things that are completely asur. There are certain things that we just make a wall for ourselves, and certain things are situations that everybody in their homes, they have to make guidance for themselves like family. Like, for instance, every family has their guidelines. Let's say you have a curfew 9 o'clock, another family has to say it's 10 o'clock. Every family has to make their own guidelines. There are three different issues. What does that mean? Eating treff is asur. There is no question. Nobody is treff. Nothing to talk about. There is no even reason to make guidelines for that. There is no reason to make sure that I'm not going to eat treff. I know that I'm not supposed to eat treff. There is a second thing. Gezerot b'mishmarot shegazru chazal al kol Yisrael. Another verse. Chachamim tell us that you are not allowed to eat meat and milk together. What do you do? Now, they made sure that they have 6 hours between meat and milk. When they made that, they wanted to make sure that I'm not going to violate to eating milk. Now, the question is like this. You, each one of us, we have to make that 6 hours regarding every other things in life also. If we have a situation that is possible for us to come and violate it, make your own 6 hours. Doesn't have to be 6 hours, but you have to come out with the time. We have to come out with something to make sure that you are not coming to go over the borderline. You have to make a red line and don't go over it. Don't even get close to it. Stay away far enough that Chas v'Shalom, you are not going over it. That, therefore, there are things that every Jew has to deal with their situation. I'll tell you an example. Example would be, some people, they have that temper, right? They get upset, they get angry very fast. What do you do that you shouldn't get angry? Then you have to think to yourself. Every person is different. If they know that let's say if your husband comes home late, you get upset, you get angry, right? Now you make sure, if you want your husband to be home 6 o'clock, you tell him to be home 5 o'clock. You give another leeway you make your own perishut, you make your own 6 hours. You make time that you give yourself an hour extra. If he comes home late, an hour late, then you are not going to get upset. You make yourself that guideline. Or a lot of other things. This person has yetzerara, they have evil inclination. For a lot of other things, we have to stay away from those things as far as possible. For instance, if you are addict, you have addiction to smoke. You smoke, right? You shouldn't go to a room that there are smoke there, right? For me or for somebody else that I have no yetzerara bichlal to smoking, it doesn't matter to me. I go inside there, it doesn't matter. Me, I don't have to make a guideline for myself. But somebody that has temptation to smoke, then they have to make sure that they don't even walk into the room. This is the story about everything in life. You have to make your own situation. You have to find out where is your red light. Where is it? What is it that causes you for your temptation, for your etcetera, come on. And there you have to put the stuff right there, and don't put the stuff right there. Go a little back and put the stuff before you get into the place that you are supposed to be. This is what Ramchal Mesilat Yesharim is telling us. Now, how do you work out with these two things? What the Gemara, these two Gemara are telling us is that certain things you have to do it. Let's say HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us food to eat. You can't say, I'm not going to eat. You cannot do that to yourself. But you cannot eat certain things. You have to eat, but you cannot eat certain things. You cannot eat certain things at certain times. There are guidelines what you are going to eat. What the Gemara said, that somebody says, I'm not going to drink wine, that means that for that person, if he drinks wine, he becomes so hyper that he's going to kill somebody, then he shouldn't drink wine. But for somebody else, that drinking wine doesn't do anything to them, then they should drink wine. Depends who you are, what is your intention, what are you trying to accomplish, what is your kavanot regarding your connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is the mindset that we need to have. Now, the second question that we spoke about, that is it a good idea, is it a nice idea, or is it something that we are obligated to do? As I said, is not a nice idea, it's an obligation. Now, I want to talk about a few issues that the phone world today, unfortunately, is getting out of hand. There is no place in the Torah says that what you are allowed, you said that you have to wear betzniut. You have to dress modest. What does that mean? What does dress modestly mean? Everybody for themselves, they have their own idea what modest clothing means. But Chazal, Chachamim, they gave us guidelines what the modestly means and what are one supposed to wear and how somebody is supposed to wear. Now, this halacha is not only about women. The man also has an obligation to wear clothing that is modest. You can't walk in the street with a half naked a man, right? You cannot do that. It's against halacha. But where does it say? People ask, no, you should not dress like this. Where does it say? They ask, where does it say? It says here. You are a Jew. It says in your brain tells you not to do this. When you walk the street, you see a guy walks in with the pants tore apart, right? The shirt is one sleeve is gone, the other sleeve is half. You know, the people walk in the streets like I don't know where they come from. These people. When you look at them, what do you think about these people? You think to yourself, where is these people are coming from? What's wrong with these people, right? But they have so much dignity about themselves. They think wearing this type of clothing is the best thing. Nothing wrong with that. Now, when we wear clothing like this, let's say I tell a story. Years ago, I went to the city, to Knoxville, Tennessee. And I went for a breeze. Knoxville, Tennessee, probably they had never seen a rabbi in their life with a suit and a hat and a yarmulke walking to the airport. The man says to me, he says, what time you coming? I said, 10 o'clock in the morning, I'll be out. He said, how am I going to recognize you? That's the question he asked me. I said, if you cannot recognize me by just looking at me, you got the wrong guy to do a breeze for yourself.
And when I walked out, he says he has a big sign up, it says Rabbi Koshka. I said, who do you think is going to get here? So when he saw me, he says, I don't need a sign. This is what the Jew should look like. When a Jew walks into to a place, to an airport, to anywhere, we think that the rest of the world, they look down to us. It's not true. It is not true at all. When a man or a woman walks or they dress properly, but tzniut, modestly, is a kavod, is a respect, is an honor, is a dignity. This shows that who we are. Like somebody once said a beautiful example. He said, if in a hot day in New York City, you want to dig, everybody was volunteered to go to the site of 9/11 to help out. It's brutal, the summer is so hot. The Queen of England also showed up there to help out, to clean up. So everybody's, they don't have a shirt on, or they have one T-shirt on. The Queen of England comes in with a nice suit and gloves, beautiful dress. She walks and said, I'm here to help. What do you think people think about this Queen of England? Do you think everybody looks at the person that has a T-shirt on? Everybody looks at her and they give her a kavod. Everybody looks at her and says, the kavod, you are there. They give her respect because she walked in with a dress that you are supposed to be. You are a person, you are a human being. The full world today, unfortunately, there are clothing out there. There are shekels out there. There are hats out there. And all of those, I can't put my finger and say, this is wrong. But it is wrong. There are dresses that people wear. There are shekels that people put on. There are hats that people put on. They say, so what did I do wrong? I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm doing it. The dress comes up to here, it's fine. My skirt comes down, that's fine. My shaito covers my head, it's fine. You're right, it is right. But what about everybody else around you that you are causing? They are violating their... No, a woman has to think that they are not the problem. The problem are the men that are out there. And don't tell me that it's their fault, their problem, let them deal with it. That's not true. That is not true. A man is got a tzarara to deal with, and a woman has an obligation to make sure that this doesn't happen. And unfortunately today, it's not my fault, it's their fault. What do you mean it's their fault? The man and women are created differently, and Hashem created us totally different. They have a certain type of yetzerara. The women have a different type of yetzerara. Therefore, what you think is nothing wrong with it, you have to put yourself and imagine yourself that what a man would do what woman would do with this type of setup, and then act properly. That's unfortunately, this is the problem, the frum world. I'm not talking about even not frum. Not, I'm talking about the religious, the frum world, Haredi world. The other thing is that using perfumes, Shulchan Aruch tells us that the halacha says that a woman that wants to use a perfume has to be very modest. It cannot be a perfume that overdoing, putting perfume that the smell goes all over. That's a chisaron of tziniut. That causes the temptation, the tzarara, to come about. And also, again, you ask me, where does it say that a woman cannot put perfume on? I don't know. It doesn't say anywhere. It says that you have to think, what are the ways, what tactics one should use to make sure that things that are not supposed to happen doesn't happen. And this is one of them. Putting perfume, overdoing the perfume is causes people to react to it. The other thing is overdoing makeups. I'm not saying makeup is very important and it should be done. But overdoing makeups, that also causes problems. That causes issues that Chas v'Shalom could bring up things that it should not. Again, you are not dealing with women alone. You are dealing with this of the world. You're dealing with men. The men have a different yetzerara. They have a different temptations that the women have. And the women have an obligation to make sure that this doesn't happen. And don't tell, please, this is very unfortunate that the world thinks it's not my problem. The women say it's not my problem. Let them deal with it. That's not true. You are part of the issue. You are dealing with the issue. You are the middle of the issue. And all this causes for the men to react. Okay, the other thing that is important is women that they work. When they work in a workplace that you feel is dangerous to work there, don't work there. Even if a person's parnasa is involved with it, it should not be there. Now what do I mean by that? If you are working in a place, in an office, in a law office, or a hospital, whatever it is, and you are dealing, I don't have to tell you, dealing with all kinds of animals there. People say things, they look differently, they act differently, they say things that they are not supposed to say, they act certain ways that they are not supposed to act, and it is dangerous. Nobody is bulletproof. Nobody is. I want to tell you a story that is brought down the Gemarot, that it was censored from the Gemara. It was taken away from a lot of Gemarot. The story is about Yashka. The Gemara tells us that how Yashka became a Yashka. Where did it come from? The Gemara says Yashka was the Talmid of one of the Tanaim, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Parachia. A tremendous, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Parachia was one of the Gedolei Tanaim we ever had. And Yashka was one of the Talmidim, of the students of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Parachia. Imagine who he was. So the Gemara tells us that one day, this Yashka was going with Rabbi Yehoshua ben Parachia to a hotel. And the lady in the hotel, she served the Rav Shem Parachia and Yashka that was with him, and Rabbi Yehoshua ben Parachia was very amazed by the way she set up the table and brought them food and everything. She said, "What a beautiful job she did." So Yashka was totally thinking differently. He said, "How beautiful she is." And Rabbi Yehoshua ben Parachia got very upset. He said, "What are you talking about? Why are you even talking like this?" Now today, who thinks like that? Today, everybody says anything they want to. So Yashka, that time, how beautiful she is. And Rabbi Yehoshua ben Parachia got so upset and excommunicated him. For long time, Yashka didn't, he came to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Parachia and said, "Please, Mochen me, forgive me what I said." And Rabbi Yehoshua ben Parachia pushed him away. One day, Yashka came to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Parachia, and Rabbi Yehoshua ben Parachia said, "If he comes today, I'm going to forgive him." So Yashka came the time that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Parachia was saying Shema. And once he said Shema, and he said, he went like this, means wait. And Yashka thought that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Parachia is telling him, "Get out." And Yashka felt that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Parachia doesn't want to deal with me anymore, and left. The Gemara says, because of this, he left forever, never came back to ask Mechila anymore, and he became Oved Avodah Zarah. He became who he became. This is all Christianity came about this. Right. Look at the whole situation. How is Yashka became Yashka? How is Christianity started? The whole Christianity started based on one statement that this man made. And who to say, who knows what Yashka, the Talmud students of Rosh Hashanah was? He could have been one of the important Talmidim. that he became who he became through the story, through the things, through the thoughts that they had. Now, if a woman or a man, I'm not putting my finger only on women, a man also, if they walk in a place, walk in a situation that is dangerous, they should get out. And it doesn't matter if their parnasa is dependent on that, or their livelihood is that they could find a different situation. Don't put your neshama in danger. If your neshama is in danger of this, of situations and thoughts and things that could really put people's lives in danger, get out of it. There is another Gemara, Masechet Ta'anit. The Gemara tells us a very interesting Gemara. I want to tell you, if it would not be a Gemara, I would not repeat it here. Now I know it's being taped and it's being filmed, but I'm only going to tell you because the Gemara said that. The Gemara says like this: Abba Chilkia, right? Abba Chilkia was a Tana, was a holy Tana. The people came to Abba Chilkia to ask him. Imagine talking about the time that everybody was Chachamim. They came to him to please daven that rain should come. When they came, he was not home, right? They went to his workplace. And when they got there, they saw him there and they spoke with him and they walked with him home. When they walked with him home, they saw that his wife came out of the house beautiful. She had makeup and nice clothing, unbelievable. Chachamim, they asked Abba Chilkia, they said, "What are you going somewhere? Why your wife is all dressed up here?" He said, they asked, "Is it the Yom Tov, is the Chag, the Shabbat, what's going on?" So Bachilkiah said, "It's a tremendous thing." He said, "My wife does that because she causes me that I shouldn't look at any other woman." This is what Bachilkiah said. Now imagine, if Bachilkiah, which is a Tana, is a person who wrote the Shabbat with a Tanaim in the time of the Gemara, they had a Ruach HaKodesh. They are not the one guy in the street here talking about people that they run much like angels. He says that she dresses like that because she doesn't want me to look at any other woman. And if he, Abba Chilkia, was not embarrassed to say that, what can we say about ourselves? This is a tzaddiket, a woman is tzaddiket. That's what she does in order to take care of the yetzerara of the house. Is not only about the yetzerara of the house. The other thing is exercising with pants, and we know that the lafi alacha is mutar. It's not a problem. Somebody goes to a place that there's no man, there is only women, and they want to exercise, they want to put the pants on, no problem. Is it a proper thing to do? Again, we have to ask ourselves, is it really proper thing to do? Is it possible to run or to do exercise with something that is more modest, even though there is women there? This is an inyan of kedoshim. This is what kadosh means. Is it mutar? But is it? Do you think is worthwhile? Yeah, this is the question we have to ask. Is it a worthwhile thing to do? To make a guideline, I take a step to make myself a holy person. I don't want foot pants. This is the again, lafi alacha is okay, but maybe it's better. Maybe it's something that I need to think about that I shouldn't do. It's a question that we have to ask ourselves. Okay, now there is another inyan that kedoshim to you is not only about modesty, and is not about things that has to do with improper or not proper actions, Kedoshim Tihyu has to do with everything in the Torah. A person has to deal with every situation in life as Kedoshim Tihyu, has to be holy. That means that you have to find a way, even though that it is mutar, what can I do to be more kadosh? Maybe this is, I'll find a way to do something to be a better human being. Now, what do I mean by that? I want to tell you a story, but you see from the story that how a person can use the idea of Kedoshim regarding every other mitzvah and every other things in life. The time of Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld was the Rav of Yerushalayim, and he was the Rav of Edah Haredit Yerushalayim. He had a very big shul, and the shul that they had a chazan, and the chazan of that shul was somebody that daven every musaf of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. This chazan passed away. The people went to Rav Chaim Zonnenfeld and they said to him, who is going to daven this Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Where are you going to find somebody to daven for us? So Rav Chaim Zonnenfeld said, don't worry about it, I'll find somebody. He said, fine. The people say, no, I'm sure he's going to think about it, he's going to find somebody good to daven Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. 2 days before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, they come to him and said, who is going to daven Musaf? They said, I'll take care of it, don't worry about it. The night of Rosh Hashanah, they come to him again and say, who, there's nobody in the shul, who is going to daven? He said, when you come tomorrow by Musaf, I'll get somebody to daven, don't worry about it. They come in Musaf, Rosh Hashanah morning, and Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld goes, there's a child sitting in the front row. He goes up to him and said, would you please get up, daven Musaf? Said, I don't know anything about Musaf. What are you asking me to daven Musaf for? He said, you know, he was the son of the chazan that passed away. He said, but you were there every year when your father daven, you listen to the melodies, you know the melodies, and just do what your father did. And encourages him so much that he should go up and daven. This boy gets up and he goes and he davens. And you know, he does the best he can. And everybody in the shul says, what is he doing? We are living in Yerushalayim. There is no chazanim in Yerushalayim that he has to get this boy to daven. After davening, they go up to Rav Chaim Zonnenfeld. They say to him, what's going on here? There is a halacha in Shulchan Aruch that the person that davens should be married. It should not be somebody not married. So how do you get somebody that is not married to daven Musaf of Rosh Hashanah? Said, you don't understand. In the Ezrat Nashim, the women's section, the almana, the widow of this chazan is sitting there. This is the first day she comes to shul, and her husband that for 34 years davened there, she sees that her husband is not davening. What agmat nefesh? What do you think this woman feels now? She feels so bad, she feels so anguished that her husband is not yet to daven. I got this boy, her boy to daven, at least gives her some nachat, something, you know, she feels good about the whole thing. Now, what should I do? I should think about the halakha Shulchan Aruch that says, I cannot have a non-married man to daven, or I should think about the feelings of this almana, of this widow. What do you think is more important? This is what Kedoshim Tihyu means. The person has to look at all the situations. It is not only about particular things, everything in life. You have to do extra. You have to see, what can I do to be a better Jew? What can I do that I should help somebody to be better? People come to us, they want to ask us for tzedakah, right? There is no halacha that says how much you have to give. Give $1, give $2, give $10, give $18, give whatever you want. There's no halacha. But what is it more important than giving money? To give a moral support is more important than giving the money. That's what Kedoshim Tiyu means. We, again, temptations works with everything. Yetzerara works with everything in life. Yetzerara wants to tell us that giving money and get rid of them. That's what the Yetzerara wants. The Yetzerara wants us to give money. Because to sit down and give them moral support is much harder. They don't want us. The Yetzerara doesn't want us to give moral support. Yetzerara wants us to give money and get rid of them. But we have to see what is a proper way. What is a Kedoshim? How can you be a Kadosh, could be holy, to do a better job? Now I want to bring up two things that really today, the third question was, how can we accomplish this mitzvah of Kedoshim to you? The Kitzur, what I can tell you is that anything that is okay according to Halacha, it may not be okay for everybody to do. You have to figure out for you as a person and as a family, where do you draw the lines? Where do you go from there? There are certain things in people's homes, you have to make it stronger. Other people, they have to make it, they don't have to worry about. The example I gave was smoking. If somebody in the house smokes, then you do extra protection that nothing comes into the house. Or somebody, let's say, alcoholic, you make sure that the wine doesn't even come to the house, you bring only grape juice to the house. Somebody else doesn't care about drinking wine or alcohol or whiskey or vodka. Each house have to make their own decision. Now, there are three things. Somebody once asked, he said, is it anything wrong to go to the pizza shop? It's nothing wrong to the pizza shop. Fine. But is it okay to go to the, in Atlanta is not a big deal than other cities. Others have bigger problems. But when people go sit in a pizza shop, they hang out for all kinds of sports. Boys, girls, they come, they sit, they do all kinds of things there. Is it proper? Where does it say that? So nowhere. Use your sechel. You get to figure out, is it a proper action for a ben or bat Torah to do? Is it something that you want to be there? It's like somebody, a woman once went to a rabbi, she said, I have a piece of meat. The kosher piece of meat fell into the toilet. And I picked it up. Is it treif or is it kosher? The rabbi said, it's kosher, but it smells bad. This is the story of a lot of things are kosher, but doesn't smell right. There are things that is nothing wrong with it, but it's not proper. This is one of the things. Going to the places that are hangouts and they have a sports TV on and they have things that is not proper, you don't walk in there. Buy a pizza, go home and your pizza is quiet. Or go to the places that is more set up, more proper. Number two, we have young children. And this question was asked by a lot of mothers and fathers. Are you allowed to take your young children to swim together? Let's say you go to a pool and you want to put boys and girls together to swim together. Is it anything wrong? It's probably not. You have a boy, 2, 3, 4 year old boy, and a girl, 2, 3, 4 year old girl. What's wrong? What can go wrong here? Is it proper, everything? No. You have to think, Bizman as today, today's society is a bigger problem than 10, 15, 20 years ago. We are not living in a box anymore. We are living outside the box. And you have to think outside the box. You have to think what's going on out there. You have to think that what a boy and a girl, 5 year old boy and girls know today that 10 years ago, 15 year old boys didn't know. This is the society that we are living in. Therefore, you can't just say, Allah said this, and this is what I'm going to follow. These certain things, what the Allah said, you have to look at it and say, the reason Allah said this is this. Is this applying for me today? And this one of the things that you have to think, is it proper to take boys and girls swimming together and be together? I'm talking about even brothers and sisters. I'm not talking about your neighbors. Brothers and sisters together. Is it a proper thing to do? And the third thing is dresses. This is the most important thing that I want to emphasize on. Wearing dresses. And this halacha, I said that for men also, and especially for women. The reason especially for women, because the women is not that they are bigger problems. No. They have a bigger responsibility for the society. Their responsibility is much bigger. Like I always said, when you have a Sefer Torah is in the ark, right? You can't just put it outside. You have to be in the ark. You have to be protected better. Why? Because it's more kadosh. The women, they are like that Sefer Torah. They have to be protected more. The men are like Sefarim. The women are like Sefer Torah. They have to be protected more. They have to be dressed better. They have to cover them better. And the same thing when they buy clothing or shaders or hats or whatever they're going to put on, they have to make sure it's not only about modesty, it's not only about how far it's going to come, is it a proper type of dress that they want to put on? Is the color right? Is the size right? Is it tight? Is not tight? Does it cover everything it's supposed to cover? When they jump, they sit, all that. They have to think about all the details that is not going to cause any problem. And this is what the temptations are about. And we are living in a society that happens to everybody. Everybody is nobody is immune from that. Everybody has to deal with it. And more, we are kadosh. We are trying our best to stay away from it more. And Be'ezrat Hashem, Hashem should help us that Bizchut Kedoshim Tiyu, again, is not a nice idea, is an obligation. Kedoshim Tiyu is something that we are obligated, and like every mitzvah in the Torah that we are obligated to do, Kedoshim Tiyu is also we are obligated to do. Any questions? I guess it was very clear. Yes. Yeah, the discussion was because you see one word that he said, right? The Rabbi Yishan Bach got so upset with him. That one word, that the idea, the machshava that they thought, you think, a lot of times people think that once one word somebody said, what's a big deal? That one word, you don't know what's behind it.